What's up, everybody? It's time for Bets Against the Spread. It's Tuesday. It's line movement. I'm joined by Joel Holka and Matt LaMarca. I'm Dieter Kurtenbach, but you don't really care about that. We're talking about the Super Bowl, you know, the one game that's going on. It's kind of a big deal. Chiefs, Buccaneers in Tampa. I don't know, man. This whole fact that we're doing like a digital Super Bowl week is kind of throwing me off. It's hard to kind of get into it, but we're here to pump up some spirit into the big game and go over some strange bets, right? Like the line hasn't moved. At three, we talked about it last week. We can talk about it again here. I don't know how much there is to go over, all things considered, but when we're talking about coin tosses and Gatorade colors, that's where we can really shine. I'm feeling like we have a good opportunity here this Tuesday, boys. First off, how you doing, Joey? What's going on? Did you get the Cool Cats pack on Top Shot?
Because we just talked about this. I did not get my Cool Cats. I definitely tried. I know LaMarca is sitting over there just like swimming in Cool Cats, but
the coolest cat.
I missed out on that. I got tired of going onto the site trying to buy things and them not letting me for the most part. So
yes.
I'll get on the train. I know LaMarca is a lot heavier on the train. Our boy Peter has completely abandoned football, which I respect. So he is very much in the weeds. But Super Bowl week, it feels like we've already kind of gone through a lot of this stuff, but still a lot has changed. These props are a big part of this week overall. Like just seeing the movement on the props already has been pretty crazy. We had already a COVID scare, which I'm sure we'll get into. Dieter, you look tired though, man. You're ripping me about Top Shot, but you look like you've been up until 4 in the morning trying to get your Cool Cats.
First off, I have. Second off, I mean, it's 7:30 a.m. here, man. It rained last night. You guys ever get that like deep rain sleep? You get it maybe, I don't know, like four times a year here in California. It taps into a different level. So that's what I'm coming off of right now. I'm puffy in the face, but I'm ready to rumble. Like the mind is sharp. I mean, I've been looking up Gatorade colors here for the last 30 minutes. I'm ready to rumble on this, but you know, forgive the appearances. Don't look, just listen. Matt LaMarca, take the people away. Shift them into something better here.
Yeah, I don't think you guys are adequately excited enough here. I'm not happy. This is it, guys. This is the final show for us. But more importantly, this is Christmas weekend for sports bettors.
Yes.
Okay? Everything you could ever want to bet on, you can find it here. You want to bet on coin toss? We got you. You want to bet on what song The Weeknd is going to perform first in the halftime show? I'm sure that's out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I saw somebody asking me the other day, how many times is Elon Musk going to tweet on Super Bowl Sunday? Like, this is the day. We are ready. We need to prep. I've been in the lab. I've been grinding, but the work never stops, guys. There's going to be more and more props. Just keep rolling out till Sunday. You get the cross sport props coming eventually. It's great. It's a great time to be alive.
What's
out of the way right away, though? These like heads and tails, this coin toss, like you got to be the biggest moron on the planet to bet on this thing, right? Because you're going to pay rake on any like betting platform you'll go to. Why don't you just like stand next to your buddy and be like, hey, $50 on heads? Like that is the way to do it. You should not be betting heads or tails on any of these platforms. And I work for a sports book, literally. So like I'm just telling you, that is the biggest fish bet on the board.
That is a much better way to do it, but don't be hanging out with your buddy on Super Bowl Sunday unless you're antibodied up like Joel Holka. And two, I have 10 units on heads, so I don't really know what you're talking about here. My favorite random prop bet out of this one is which is said first, COVID or pandemic? And I'm in on pandemic plus 300. It just feels like COVID is too specific for old Jim Nance. He'll talk about like this unprecedented year a lot, and it will be brought up like in a pandemic. Whereas, you know, COVID, you know, you don't want to bring it up. You don't want to name the enemy. So you got COVID at minus 500. You got pandemic at plus 300. Give me pandemic all day, every day on that one. Any thoughts? That's what I'm thinking. We got to remember who we're dealing with here. It's Nance and Romo. They're the buttoned up ones, right? Like, I'm not excited, by the way. I figured out this year that CBS's coverage is inferior to Fox's coverage. Like I figured it out just watching games. Can't believe it took me this long. It's going to be a painful actual Super Bowl. So it's nice to have action on it. We talked about this before we hopped on here, the Gatorade color and what the hell we're supposed to do. I promise we'll actually talk about football here in a second. The Gatorade color last year, it was orange. So orange is now the favorite at plus 125. I'm thinking both of these teams are red, though. You could make the argument that Tampa Bay is an orange team. Red at plus 300 seems pretty saucy. Do we have any hot takes on Gatorade color? Because that should be a pretty good one. There's some opportunity there.
My thing is you have to decide what kind of Super Bowl better do you want to be, right?
Okay.
Do you want
it's like a moment and, are we having a talking to? This
feels we're like having a talking to.
Yeah.
This is my, sit down at the table, my son. Disclaimer. Do you want to be a guy that has fun during the Super Bowl and you're going to just bet on a couple of things to increase your enjoyment level? Or are we trying to win money?
There's another weird one that we saw here. First coach to show nostrils on camera, right? So everyone's got the mask on. Nostrils. Whose nostrils do you see first? Andy Reid plus 150, Bruce Arians minus 250. You pound Bruce Arians. He can't keep anything on. Andy Reid's got that big schnauzer mask going on. That thing's locked on. It's not going anywhere. He sticks the microphone in there. He's set. Andy Reid's got his situation figured out. Bruce Arians has to wear the shield because the mask doesn't get on all the way. In fact, I'm pretty sure his nostrils are always open to the public. So minus 250, that's just easy cash. I know it's not a great rig, but
I think every time I see Bruce Arians, he has like a different setup. You know what I mean? Like he's got like the really close like white mask now. At one point, he just had a shield and it was getting fogged up. But like I feel like Andy Reid, like you said, like he's got it dialed in, man. He hasn't really wavered.
He had the shaming moments of the fogged up mask in week one, and then week two, he had a smaller mask that he was messing around with. And by week three, that man was set. This is what good coaching is all about. You adapt, you recover.
He's got a custom team-issued Kansas City Chiefs mask. Like that's a man that knows what he wants. You know what I mean? What is he going to invest for unless he really feels comfortable in that? You look at I literally Googled Bruce Arians mask because there's like five different ones.
Here's the thing with the Bruce Arians mask, right? So he did the face shield, and then they're like, you have to wear a mask. So he's like, well, okay, he can't get the mask onto his face right because his face is so big. This is a guy who has to wear the belt across the chest, Han Solo style, because it doesn't fit around the waist. You're telling me that guy's nose isn't going to come out? Like, it's coming out. There's no way it's not coming out.
And there are multiple pictures on the internet of his full face and like his mask around his neck. Literally, this one's got to be Arians. I don't think it's close.
Arians. I know it's minus 250, but this is just easy money line. This is like Chiefs with the 25-point spread. You just take the money line. You just run. You just take the extra cash on it. I don't know, Lamarck. I'm sure you've thought about this for several hours. What are you thinking?
Sure, you make some very compelling points, Dieter. I just love that we're fat shaming Bruce Arians when Andy Reid is on the other sideline.
That it takes something, man. Andy Reid can at least get the belt on. Like this is it was and I can I'll only take, get away with I'll this because I look like garbage.
I'll take Bruce checking in at a lower number than Andy. I don't know what the odds are on that, but I will take that bet.
Well, but this is what I'm talking about when it comes to coaching. And honestly, it feeds into a point that actually pertains to football. Like Andy Reid's gonna has 10 days minimum of actual game planning for this contest. Whereas Bruce Arians is a guy whose entire motto coaching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is let's be home by five. Like that's been his whole thing. And he delegates a lot of his stuff. And Andy Reid has this, aura of being a wizard on bye games because, he delegates. Don't worry. There's a lot of guys who have other jobs on the team, but he comes up with the cool shit in that bye week. That's the week when he can be free of the grind of the week to week, and he can come up with some interesting stuff. He's actually going to get that in this Super Bowl week. Most Super Bowl weeks, you don't get to do anything. You just have to do media, and you can't install anything cool. This one, because everybody's just doing it from home, there's more responsibility, sure, but he's actually able to practice and install this week. So I think that's huge, too, and the line hasn't moved at all. I think books are taking everybody for a run. I think that they're just like, if you want to keep betting Tampa, go to town. Now, we could probably find a differing opinion on that and saying that Tampa actually is a 3-point dog. But I'm taking alternate lines on this one. I'm taking it all the way up to 7 and 8 later this week. Yeah, because there might be some movement later on in the week. But what are you thinking about just the coaching matchup? We're not caring about the nostrils here, Joe Holka. We're caring about the actual coaching matchup. That's got to be advantage Kansas City, right?
Well, I mean, did he install a new offensive line over the bye week as well? I guess that's what I'm curious about. But yeah, I mean, it's again, we talked about this last week. It's tough for me. It's tough for everyone to see a scenario where this line makes sense in favor of Tampa Bay, to me at least. Like there's really only one path to Tampa Bay winning, and it's getting to Patrick Mahomes through this offensive line and with like one of the teams that pressures the best out of anyone. Like that's the only path, literally. On the other side, right, Kansas City can beat you about 18 different ways. They could probably hang out by the pool for half of this game and still make it close by the end of it if they were like literally pedal to the metal, which I don't even know if we've had to really see much at all this year. So it's really tough. I expected this line to move a little bit more, but you said it, man. Like, people just want to bet Tom Brady, and they're just, all right, go to town. I thought we would see it at least get to 3.5. It looks like it's holding pretty steady at 3. LaMarca, have you seen any of the sharp action kind of catch your eye so far? Because to me, it still feels pretty straightforward, which is always kind of scary.
Yeah, we really haven't seen any sharp activity at this point. There's no steam moves, no reverse line moves to talk about. It's the majority of the action is Kansas City, 61% of the tickets, 69% of the dollars, but like nothing overwhelming on either side. I do think that there probably has been some Tampa activity anytime this line gets pushed to 3.5, but which is why we've seen it stick at 3. But there's nothing in the data that really supports that theory. So going back to what you were saying about this being a coaching mismatch, Andy Reid with at least 13 days to prepare, 16-9 against the spread. Bruce Arians in the same situation, 3-5.
I can't get over the fact that basically during the bye week, Tom Brady staged a coup. And it's just like, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to do this stuff because it will actually work and I can actually win, which I guess speaks maybe, you know, better to Tampa Bay's chances in this one. But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't seen any movement at all on this line. Like that's surprising to me because, you know, with the numbers as you laid it out, which isn't, they're not impressive numbers, but with the numbers as you laid out, like Kansas City, it should be moving up towards 4 now. Like they should be wanting to get more Tampa Bay action, even out to 50-50. And if, you know, a bunch of people are betting Tampa Bay and we don't really know, like, if there's massive tickets on it, massive sharp action on it, then, you know, then it should be coming down a little bit so that they can get some more Kansas City action. Like, it's, there should be something going on here. But the fact that all of the books are just like, nope, we're holding strong at 3. And I know that's a magic number, but like, we're just holding strong at 3. That tells me that they really feel confident in Kansas City. And I don't think I'm beating the books this week. I'm just throwing that out there. I think that they might have this one locked in pretty good. And again, I'm going alternate lines. I want to talk about MVP. I love Super Bowl MVP odds. I love MVP odds in any sort of final situation. Super Bowl MVP actually a little less fun just because it's like which quarterback will win. But I think this could be a year where we want to go off the board. I'm a big fan of, you know, you take the team that you're betting on, you bet the quarterback, and then you get a little funky, you toss around a couple sawbucks on somebody else just in case it hits. And there's some really fun ones in this one. I mean, Tyreek Hill at plus 1,400. This guy had 200-something receiving yards in the first quarter, I think, first quarter, last time these two teams played. Travis Kelce at 1,500. That makes a lot of sense to me. Basically, Tampa Bay's Sophie's choice on this is, do we double-team Tyreek Hill or do we double team Travis Kelce? One of them's going to burn you. It's a question of which one they allow to burn them. And I think that they could have numbers that are so undeniable that it might actually be a Super Bowl MVP performance for either of them. Does anybody jump out on the board for you, LaMarca, regarding a Super Bowl MVP as a fun long shot to throw a speculative dollar or two at?
Shaq Barrett, 50 yes. to 1.
Great call.
I think if like Joe was kind of saying, if Tampa Bay wins this game, it's with their pass rush. We saw Barrett have a monster game against the Packers last week. Mm-hmm. One of the best edge rushers in the business. If he can get 2-3 sacks, maybe force a fumble or pressure Mahomes into an interception, I could definitely see him winning the MVP of this game. I think, honestly, the only way I'm betting this award is I'm betting Mahomes for the Chiefs.
Yep.
And I will get some equity with Barrett just in case Tampa Bay pulls the upset.
I took a little bit of a straw poll at the Super Bowl last year. I thought Bosa was the best player in that game up until about, well, that Mahomes throw on 3rd and 15. And then it was off to the races for Kansas City. But it was a 50-50 who would have been the MVP had San Francisco won, Bosa or Garoppolo, which, of course, it's all hypothetical. But that tells you something about you know, kind of the way that I've bet most of the NBA finals over the years. Like, I made a ton of money on Iguodala in 2015 because it's like, well, who is the person that everyone's looking to win MVP? If he is stopped, who did that? and that will be the MVP. Like, it's a narrative-based award, and it's not that smart of a narrative. So Shaq Barrett at 50-1 is great. Whoa. Joe's got something happening on his end. Let me throw one at you here, LaMarca, regarding Devin White. So we got Travis Kelce, who obviously is going to have a big role in this game for Kansas City. Like, he can't not. He's the best pass-catching tight end in the league. And especially if you take into account, you know, the offensive line issues that Kansas City probably will have, they're going to be looking for maybe shorter passes. So that's all Kelce all the time when it comes to that. I like Devin White, though, at 50-1 as well. Shaq Barrett makes all the sense in the world. I'm with you on that one at 50-1. But Devin White is probably going to be in a situation where he's going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities with Travis Kelce. And it's maybe it's his galaxy brain, full stop. But like,
yeah, I think this is a galaxy brain here, Dieter.
50-1, throw down $1.
He's going to need the splash plays.
He's going to need two interceptions.
Two interceptions. Okay. Yeah. Well, if he comes up with a couple of picks, then you're in business. But
that's what
Devin
White's
thing is, he's more sideline to sideline, rangy.
Yeah.
I could see him having double digit tackles.
If he gets
him with a couple of pass breakups, but pass coverage is not his forte.
He's going to be about this in my
betting preview. His PFF grade as a pass defender this season is like 46.
Yeah, it's not good.
He allowed seven completions on 8 targets last week against the Packers. Like, he's fast. He can cover sideline to sideline. And again, he's a factor in the run game. But if the narrative is he's going to take Travis Kelce out of this game, like, I don't see that as a realistic outcome.
You talked me out of it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Sure. What about Clyde Edwards-Helaire? I mean, if you just get a running back who scores 4 touchdowns, or 3 touchdowns, even if they're all, you know, vultured at the goal line, like, the narrative very well could be like, he was the best player. If he has 100 yards and, you know, 3 touchdowns, that's worth a try. I know that Kansas City does the shovel pass all the time and they make sure that Mahomes' stats are nice and padded, but like, I don't know. I think Helaire could be an interesting play, especially too, since, you know, he's at 37-1. Like, this.
I think Joe is probably with me here. I would rather take Darrell Williams if I was going to take the Chiefs running back.
Okay.
I don't know what odds you're looking at. They seem to be much better than the odds that I'm looking at on DraftKings Sportsbook. But
okay, yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen with this Chiefs backfield? You know, last week it was pretty much a 50-50 split. Williams had a slight lead over CEH, but this week we're expecting Le'Veon Bell to be back in the mix. Like,
oh, geez.
It could be just a 3-headed cluster. So I will not be getting any Chiefs running backs exposure, but I think if you are just looking at the prices, I'd rather have Darrell Williams as a longer shot than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
All right, one more I'm going to throw at you. And again, all of these are super speculative. I just want to push it out. Mecole Hardman is going to get opportunities, not just in the offensive game, but also in special teams. Special teams touchdowns loom large in the minds of voters on stuff like this. It's like, well, he flipped the game. He changed the game. If he gets a special teams touchdown, which he very well could do, I think that that's worth, 10-1, 100-1, 100-1 in some places. That's worth it to me. That's worth it to me. This is a guy who can get 2 massive plays and basically sit the rest of the game out. I mean, if he has a special teams touchdown and some 80-yard, you know, burn touchdown, that's enough possibly to win MVP. So 100-1 seems like just great odds. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Joe?
Yeah, number one, I have no idea what that alarm was that went off in my apartment just now.
You
so
okay?
Hopefully it's not burning down. I have no idea. Yeah. I couldn't find anything that looked off. It went off
the
for like 5 seconds and stopped. So ovens off, all that good stuff. So anyways, if I just like pass out, hopefully nothing's wrong with my apartment. Anyways, Super Bowl MVP, you guys talked about it. It's almost always the quarterbacks. I think in general, if you want to go elsewhere, it makes sense. Like, obviously we see Julian Edelman win it a couple years ago, but that was just such a condensed target tree. It's like the complete opposite of Tampa Bay. So all the Tampa Bay guys are out. I guess you could make an argument for Tyreek, Kelce, one of those guys just has a massive game. But at that point, I think it's probably still Mahomes. I'm not just going to probably fire at Tyreek or Kelce at those odds. I'm with LaMarca. If there's anyone that unseats one of the quarterbacks, I think it's someone on the Tampa Bay side of the defensive, or the defensive side of Tampa Bay's team. So I'm with you on Shaq Barrett. I think that he would be the guy that I would have the most interest in. I'm not really interested in a lot of these running backs on either side in any real format. I think I'm going to be hammering unders on a lot of these guys. I think that if you I guess if you want to get on the side of the game goes really weird in favor of Tampa Bay, maybe you do think that the Fournette and Rojo overs are enticing, but I think it's going to be really spread out on the Kansas City side. I'm with LaMarca. If I'm going to pick one guy, I think it is Darrell Williams. He's the guy that they trust, right? They've trusted him down the stretch, like basically over these other guys in pass protection, which is really important. Anyway, CEH looked terrible. Like I know that he got hurt and was out after that. I don't know if he was out because he was hurt or he was out because he looked terrible. He doesn't look right to me. So I don't really want to be on that side of it. Le'Veon Bell is complete dust. So yeah, I think it's Darrell Williams. It's just like the worst possible matchup. So I don't think I would just be across the board hammering unders on both these running games. Do you have like a guy on Tampa Bay you like more, LaMarca? I guess the Rojo ones are interesting, and in DFS it's probably going to end up being Fournette because he's the guy you can still project for volume. Rojo, just man, like hands like feet, man. If you're going to take a shot on one of these guys that just like isn't going to touch the ball a lot, at least catch passes, man. Don't be the guy that can't catch passes and is projecting for like five touches, man. I'm just not interested in that.
Yeah.
I do think that the Bucks need to run the ball in this matchup to have success. So I am more interested in taking the overs potentially on either Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette. But like you said, it's kind of a 50-50 split. Like Fournette was much more productive last week, but that doesn't change the fact that him and Jones basically split the work down the middle. You know, Fournette finished with 12 carries and Jones had 10. So I don't love either of those guys. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to bet an under just because the Chiefs are so bad in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
But we like Ronald Jones, right? Don't we kind of like Ronald Jones? The one option that I think is the sort of one of my favorite props at the moment, and this is courtesy of Sean Corner over at the Action Network. Mm-hmm. Darrell Williams, you can get under 2.5 receptions. So I know I just made the case for Darrell Williams being the guy in the Chiefs backfield, but he has been used a lot less as a pass catcher when Edwards-Helaire is active. So his last three games with CEH, he has averaged 21% routes run. His last three games without CEH, 60% routes run. So they are much less likely to use him in the passing game when CEH is active. So I like Darrell Williams under on the reception prop. Shout out to Sean Corner.
Nice.
That's a good one. Here's one I like. I like Travis Kelce to score the touchdown of the game at 600. It's a 60-1. Because of those shovel passes that I alluded to earlier, where they'll bring him in around on motion and then Mahomes just kind of flick it under and hit him. That play just hasn't been stopped yet. They ran it all regular season. They ran it a lot in the playoffs. It just hasn't been stopped. No one knows what to do with it. And it's as good as a run play. You know, Mahomes knows exactly what he's doing with it. They don't trust their running backs, or at least they shouldn't. That is just like get the ball in the hands of a big fella, have the defense kind of split up, get him one-on-one against the linebacker. He's going to run him over. So if Kansas City has the ball first and they're driving down the field, that Kelce score first touchdown at 60-1, whew, that's going to be looking real tasty. I don't want to be out on that. And you're certainly not going to be able to live bet it when they're driving down the field. A lot of things have to go right, no doubt, but Kelce to score the first touchdown at 60-1. That just doesn't feel like great odds for the book there. And you take any advantage that you can get. Anything stand out to you on the prop list, Joe?
Yeah, there's a couple things on the Kansas City side I think are interesting, in particular because it looks like Sammy Watkins is trending to play here. So like what we've kind of seen when Watkins is in is that Hardman and Robinson, their roles don't really change a ton. It's really just been Byron Pringle who's been just a non-factor, right? So I'd be hammering the unders on Pringle. I think it's interesting because it looks like we have a COVID. What's the deal with Robinson? He was on the COVID list, but he was a close contact, so he's going to get cleared, right? That normally happens when those guys
get cleared.
Yeah. So I think the under on Pringle makes some sense just for the fact that it looks like Sammy Watkins is going to be in. I don't know if I want to be heavily invested in Sammy Watkins, but I think that changes the dynamic of the rotations at the very least.
Let me throw something at you here. This is something that we saw. I think Jordan threw it our way. Correction if I'm wrong here. Jersey number to score the first touchdown over under 24.5.
Oh, God. Well, Mark, you were talking about these, so go ahead.
This is a cool.
You love it.
I like
you
these ones. You know, if you're taking the over, right, you get the running backs. Mm-hmm. You get Kelsey,
yeah.
If you take the under, you get the quarterbacks. You get Tyreek Hill. You get Mike Evans. You get Chris Godwin.
Uh-huh.
Antonio Brown also on the overside. I feel like getting the running backs and Kelsey is pretty plus EV. You know, like I think Kelsey is the most likely touchdown scorer in this game. I mean, that's reflected in the lines. He's minus 175. So you get him, you get Fournette, you get Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you get Darrell Williams, right? CEH is 25, I believe. So
yeah,
you're getting four of the top seven touchdown scorers with the over, but you're only getting three with the under.
But Godwin and Evans are a big deal there. That's because I don't know. I'm not feeling like Tampa Bay. This is total gut. Like Tampa Bay, if they're going to score, they're going to need to have some bigger plays, like just driving down the field methodically. Like they'll save that crap for later. Like they need to make a statement early. So I think it'll be a big play for Tampa Bay if they get on the board first.
Yeah, sure. That's just Evans or Godwin. Let's just throw it deep. It's that easy.
I think there's two main things that I definitely want to be heavy on, and it's not the fun way to approach it, but like a lot of the unders, like when we get closer to the actual game happening, there's just going to be value by default, right? No one wants to cheer for an under 94 yards or whatever it is for Travis Kelce, right? Everyone wants to be on the overside of that. So I think if you wait it out a little bit, you'll get some nice value on some of these unders, just for these individual players. Also, I think that if you can find these sack types of lines that are around there, I think on both sides you can do like the combined sacks in a game. I like the over on those. I think that if you can be on the Tampa Bay side, like I'm just seeing that like some of these lines are at like 3 sacks, 2.5 sacks. I would hammer the over on those ones, especially if you can get the ones that are combined for both teams. I'd be shocked if there wasn't like 4 or 5 sacks combined in this game. Do you like any of those, LaMarca?
Yeah, I'll take some sack equity for sure. I mean, Tampa Bay, you would think, should get 3 at a minimum of their own. Can I give you guys my favorite prop of the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Player prop parlay. This is available on DraftKings. I'm sure you can find this kind of stuff elsewhere, but Patrick Mahomes, 300 plus passing yards and a Chiefs victory, plus 150.
Okay.
Pretty tasty.
Okay.
Is there any formula where the Chiefs don't pass for 300 yards? They're not going to be able to run the ball in this game.
No.
They're going to have to throw.
They're probably not going to try.
I mean, I think when Mahomes played this team the last time, he racked up like 450 passing yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tyreek had 200 in the first quarter. So if you think that the Chiefs are going to win, to me, this is kind of like getting Chiefs money line at plus 150.
I think you just made part of my argument too for the sacks, right? There's gonna be so many dropbacks on both sides just because neither team is gonna run the ball effectively, right? So like you could see like Tom Brady like getting some of these like underneath throws just to move the ball, you know what I mean? Maybe like an extension of the run game, which like that's why I like actually the over on some of the completion percentage things that I've seen out there for both sides, because people are seeing Tom Brady really struggle in the playoffs in comparison to the regular season in terms of his completion percentage. But I think that their game plan is gonna be different in this game when they can't really run the ball that well, or maybe they just choose not to. And that just ends up being a ton of pass attempts on both sides, both of these teams. Shout out Michael Leone over at Established a Run. Both these teams are above average in their expected passing rate throughout the entire season. Kansas City, obviously, drastically ahead of most of the league. So I think there could be a ton of dropbacks on both sides. Like, obviously, Tampa Bay is going to have to score points. Like, you have to score 40 to have a chance, right? So, I think that's a really sharp call, Marco, but I think that really plays to the sacks as well.
I like Scotty Miller over 4.5 receptions, right? Like, if you're going to be...
What?
If you're going to be dinking and dunking. 4.5? Yeah. What would you set it at, LaMarca?
1? Antonio Brown's going to play.
Yeah, we'll see.
He's probably more likely to catch he's likely to go over on his receiving yards in one play than probably catch 4 balls, right?
100%. Okay. Scotty Miller, I will bet my life that Scotty Miller doesn't catch 5 passes in this game.
How many cool cat packs for the under on 4 receptions for Scotty Miller?
What are some of the unders that you like, Joe? You mentioned some unders. What ones stood out to you?
All of them. It's not fun to bet the Travis Kelce under, even though he keeps hitting. Yeah. But 100 yards for, like, they're like, Kelce's at, what's his line at right now for receiving yards? I'm looking at it. I bet it's at like 90 something. Is it over 100?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
What I saw was like 100 and change. Yeah.
Oh, I'm heavily, heavily on the under of that. It's not fun. It's not, like, you know what I mean? But like 100 yards for any player is a lot, guys. Like, that is a lot of yards.
Especially if he gets double teamed.
It seems like a lot of yards. I don't know. Like, it's not fun to do, but like, if you're going to give me like anything close to like -115, anything like that on the under of 100 and like whatever, I'm hammering unders on those. Like, Tyreek is a little bit more scary because he can break 80 on one play. Travis Kelce, it's a death by 1,000 cuts down the field for him to get to 100 yards, which he's done a lot this year. I understand that, but I don't know. Like, sometimes the numbers, you just have to take that into effect and just take the value on the under when you know that these are going to be juiced up on the other side because it's not fun.
Yeah,
I agree. This goes back to my thing earlier about, are we betting to make money or are we betting to have fun? If you're betting to make money, you should be betting no on the safety. You should be taking like all the no props for the most part.
Pretty much.
You know, you're going to have to lay a lot of juice, but that's why they're so profitable, because everybody just wants to take the yes side, which is going to, you know, potentially give them a big payday. But the math suggests that all the no's are for the most part, the best bets in those situations.
Or like, those ones are juiced up. Like, look at all some of the numbers here, guys. It's so hard. Like, those are fun, right? But that's fun for like a very, very small allocation of your Super Bowl bets, right? Like, it's always fun to get your first touchdown, but like being profitable, if those are like a large chunk of your allocations this weekend, not a good strategy, in my opinion.
Peter, he looks miserable with us talking about
this. You're killing me. This is what Christmas is all about. You waste your money.
I wasted enough Stephon Diggs profits in the AFC Championship game. I'm going to chill and not do the dumb
thing. Come on, Dieter. So. I got shots to buy.
I'm just sitting here on Bruce Arians' nostrils -250.
That's sharp.
Ride it all the way home. This is it. You guys, what's your Bruce Arians nostrils? If you had one thing you got to lay some cash down on, whether for business or pleasure, what's the bet? What's the bet? Matt LaMarca?
I laid it out. Mahomes 300 plus passing yards and the Chiefs to win at +150.
I'm basically over on every sacks type of line you can find at the moment.
Yep, and I'm on nostrils. That's where we're at. All right, that's the show. Appreciate everybody hopping on. Remember, line movement. I don't know if we're gonna be on Sunday, but we're around. Hang out. Subscribe to the channel. Check out our stuff online, and then blitzbet.eu for all of your betting needs. We'd appreciate it. All right. That's it. Have a good one, everybody.